Welcome to the Third City Christian Church podcast. This week's message is Go and Be, Part 1, Salt, recorded Sunday, April 14th, 2024. If you have a story about how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to podcast@thirdcityc.org. Now here's Dan with today's message.
Well, hey, good morning. It's really good to see you this morning, and truth be told, for most of us, it's really good to see anyone or anything after Monday, when we all faced that 1 hour temptation to stare directly at the sun, right? Like, we're a little nervous, like you're trying to see the eclipse and, you know, you're wondering how it's gonna go. Here at the offices, we had about 20 people trying to share one welding mask and two pair of what were basically 3D movie glasses. If you missed out or you procrastinated like me, weren't able to order your own glasses, just know it's going to happen again in 20 years. So just set a calendar reminder for 2044. While we may see things like an eclipse happen on rare occasions, it seems like we've been seeing some extraordinary events taking place here at Third City on a regular basis. And I'm sure you've noticed that this room and the room in Broken Bow are feeling a lot tighter. The truth is, it's just because a whole lot more people are showing up at Third City. We want you to know that we count every person in our services because we believe that every person counts and that every person represents a story of how God is working out His love unlimited in people's lives. This year, not including Easter weekend, the total number of people who have been in our worship centers is up about 13% from last year. We're pretty excited about that. In Broken Bow, the campus is blowing up, over 27% increase from last year to this year. That's worth at least a hoot, right? And Nick told me this week that they've had over 100 people five times this year, and all of last year they had three times with over 100 people. And so we're excited about what God is doing there, that they're seeing that kind of growth. Our online crowd has grown by over 22%, which is really cool for a couple of reasons. First, we know, like Scott talked about several weeks ago, there are people joining online from areas or countries that don't have access to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And they're choosing to call Third City their church home. Secondly, we've had more and more conversations recently with people who join us online for a while before making the decision to join us in one of our buildings in person. And so to those in Broken Bow and those joining us online this morning, we just want you to know we're super excited about the growth that we're seeing taking place there. And we're excited for your partnership in sharing good news with our world. 2 weeks ago on Easter weekend, we welcomed 3,427 people into our five services, which again is like 22% growth from last year, more than we've ever had on a weekend. And parking was really pretty fine at 7 a.m., you know? And so last week together, we celebrated 55, make it 56 people who, as Romans 6 says, through baptism joined Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. What an incredible weekend. And I say all of that in order to say this. We believe that God is at work in our area, in our world, and through Third City Christian Church. And he gets all of the glory and all of the credit for the cool things that are taking place here and for every changed life that we celebrate together. And as the size of our church family grows, we believe that he gives us even more of an opportunity and responsibility to join him in his kingdom work. So it's really fitting that today, with a bunch of new family in the room, we're stepping back into our year-long journey through the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus lays out what life should look like for those who are in his kingdom. We'll be in Matthew chapter 5. It's the first of the four Gospels, the first book of the New Testament. It's about two-thirds of the way through the book known as the Bible, or you can get it on your phone as well. And a couple of weeks before Easter, we finished Jesus' opening remarks known as the Beatitudes, where he greatly expands the list of candidates of who can be a somebody on his team. And the mission of his team is to spread the word that the kingdom has come and that God's love is for the whole world and that grace is available through Jesus. And prior to that moment, the religious elite had wrestled control, at least in their own minds, of God's favor and his blessing. Those who had struggle or the wrong DNA or upbringing, their education wasn't what some other people's were. They were made to feel like have-nots and at best, second-class citizens. And Jesus simply blows the doors open and says, this is for anyone who's willing to put the kingdom of God ahead of the kingdom of me. It's for the broken and the burned out and the know-nothings and the discarded and the hurting and those who had dealt with moral failure. It's for everybody. Anyone who is willing to look to God for his bigger purpose in the midst of life's challenges and struggles. And as he goes through the list, people who had been looking down at the ground in shame, they realize that Jesus is for them and they pick their focus up off the ground and they lock eyes with Jesus, realizing that his team includes anyone who says they want to be included and will follow his lead in their life. In this movement, the kingdom, it includes you and it includes me. And so now with their eyes fixed on Jesus and with our eyes a couple of thousand years later fixed on Jesus, he begins to lay out how life is going to be different in the kingdom of heaven. So in Matthew 5, starting in verse 13, we read this, "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. And you are the light of the world. A city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will be praised, so everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Over the next few weeks, we're going to work our way through those two paragraphs, digging into what it means for us today. But for today, we're just going to focus in on that first line, "You are the salt of the earth." And if we're honest, it seems like an odd opening remark. Don't get me wrong, I like salt on my popcorn, right? I had some just on Friday night. I thought you would appreciate that level of like preparation and research into the topic. And I appreciate what salt does for my driveway on a wintry, icy day. And if you put a whole bunch of it in a container in your basement, it softens your water. I've heard rumor that it really softens your hair, you know? I would love to experience that. But overall, to us, this phrase just seems kind of common. And so it might be helpful for us today to think about some people who maybe would have been in the crowd that day and how they would have heard these words from Jesus. And so first, let's talk about a banker. And what in the world do banking and salt have to do with one another? And today, maybe not very much, but back then it did. Let me explain. To us, we don't look at salt and think, that looks pretty valuable. You can go to Sam's Club or Hy-Vee or any grocery store, gas stations. You can find salt in pretty large quantities for not very much money anywhere. But it wasn't that way that day. In that day, one of the roles of salt in Jesus's day was as a commodity. They couldn't go buy it in a 5-gallon bucket. They probably couldn't buy it in the things that we have in our homes. 2,000 years ago, Roman soldiers would have been paid at least part of their pay in the form of salt. In fact, the word salt comes from the Latin word sol, which is the same word that we get our word salary from. And so when you hear someone say this phrase, maybe you've never understood it, they say you can take that with a grain of salt. You probably heard your grandpa say that at some point. It comes from this truth, and it simply means that's not worth very much, just a grain of salt. So a banker might hear Jesus' words and understand that we have a God-given inherent value. Secondly, if there were a biologist in the crowd, their mind would connect to the cleansing impact of salt. One of the simplest ways to clean a wound is simply to pour a little bit of salt on it. And you and I can be thankful that doctors have come up with better and less painful ways to treat wounds. Maybe you know that feeling when you bit your cheek And then without thinking about it, you throw a pretzel in your mouth and you pay the dumb tax and it stings and you just got to go find water quickly. And so it's possible that people would hear Jesus say this and conclude that they should act as an irritant in an effort to remove infection or moral decay. And some people are really good at doing this for other people. And if they're not careful, they look like the person that Jesus is going to describe in about two chapters, walking around with a log sticking out of their own eye while they try to help someone else remove a speck from their own eye. But when it's done well and with the right motives, we can have a beautiful role with other people to help them find healing. Well, there were no doubt some butchers standing nearby. And when they heard Jesus refer to salt, they immediately thought about the process they use to preserve meat. In fact, the place where Jesus is teaching is likely within view of a city called Magdala. Dr. Darren Whitehead, a pastor in Tennessee, points out that Magdala is the primary fishing city for the Sea of Galilee. And when fish were brought in, they were stored in a special tower that was full of salt. And so they had salted fish. Sounds great, doesn't it? And when people heard the name of that town, they would automatically make the connection to its main product, salted fish. Maybe like if you were to tell one of us that you were traveling to Hershey, Pennsylvania. None of us care what the city hall looks like. We want to know about the chocolate. We associate it with that name, with its main product. And so a butcher begins to think about how we play a role in preserving really good and important things in our society. Well, there might have been a bartender in the crowd, and he or she maybe would have thought about the salty snacks they give away to people in order to increase the drink orders. Salty things make people thirsty. And if we live as salt among the people around us, our lives, our faith, and our friendship can have that same effect on other people. They begin to thirst for something refreshing and good and something that satisfies. And if we live in the right way among other people, we can elicit thirst for God. Many of you can identify a person who was that for you. People in your life lived in a way that was full of hope and truth and grace, and it gave you a thirst for something better in your lives. And we got to celebrate this morning. We got to celebrate last weekend as friends baptized friends. Family members baptized loved ones. Youth coaches got to baptize students that they've been working with after God used their life and example to elicit thirst. And finally, the baker in the crowd would think about salt as a seasoning, as a key ingredient in everything they made. And if used in the right way, in the right doses, it would just make any recipe a little bit better. See, when you taste something delicious, it's less that you're tasting salt and more that salt is enhancing the other flavors in that recipe. I've never bit into a piece of bread or a piece of cake or a slice of pie longing to get that hit of salty. But you know you can tell the difference when someone forgot to put the salt in, or if they put in far too much or not enough of it. God can use us to look for goodness where he's already at work and to join him in that work to enhance the goodness and the flavor that's around us. Our lives can add or enhance flavor in a way that points people to Jesus. And while all of these people, the banker and the biologist and the butcher and the bartender and the baker might hear Jesus' words from slightly different perspectives, they would hear this in common. Jesus is calling us, his people, you and me, to be people who have influence in our word, in our world, and to add to and enhance flavor in a world that can be bland and ordinary. Salt has influence, to be agents of healing where sickness and brokenness exist, influence, to preserve goodness in our world, keeping decay and rot away from the people that we and God love, influence, and to live as people of hope in a way that points people to the source of hope, makes them thirst for something better. The beautiful part of being salt is we get to play a role in the redemptive story that God is unfolding around us. But there's two things that threaten to keep us from playing that role. The first one is that we lose our saltiness. So right after Jesus tells all these new followers, you are the salt of the world, he cautions them to guard their saltiness so they don't end up in a situation where they're useless. And from what I can tell, there's two ways that salt loses its flavor: contamination and isolation. See, if I drop a bunch of salt onto a sandy beach and then I try to gather it back into the salt shaker, the next person to use that salt shaker is not going to appreciate my efforts. And if you mix 1 pound of salt with 1 pound of sugar or flour or baby powder, it might look okay, but it won't have the same positive impact or influence. And the same is true for us as spiritual people. If I let the old things that junked up my life creep back in and take control of me, the good things that Jesus is accomplishing in me can be contaminated. And two big things take place in the life of a person when they become part of God's kingdom. We call them justification and sanctification. Justification is a one-time event where your sins are forgiven. And relationship with God is made possible because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And put memorably, justification means just as if I never sinned. I can be pure in the eyes of God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And sanctification, it's a lifelong process of becoming more like Jesus. Justification happens on a day. Sanctification will take the rest of your days. And for a lot of people, you experienced that justification moment in a real public way last Sunday, where you went before a whole bunch of people and you stepped into a baptistry and you let Jesus do the work, and you were just saying yes to him. Like Romans 6 tells us, you joined him in his death, his burial, and resurrection. Your role was to believe and confess faith. And now the lifelong process of sanctification begins, shaping you more into his image and his character. It's the primary work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As believers, we're called to repent on a regular basis, to turn away from the things that are really mucking up our lives and turn towards God. It's why we give every person who's baptized a Bible and a reading plan. And it's why we want every person to show up when we gather together and to be in a group where you will grow in your faith. You see, we want to be a people who come and see, worship and grow, to take an active role in becoming more like Jesus. Because just like contamination can be a threat, isolation isn't good for us either. And it goes two ways. Think about salt. If you put a single grain of salt on a tomato or a chunk of watermelon or a French fry, its influence won't even be noticeable. It needs to be paired with a bunch of more grains of salt. We need to be together. But on the other hand, the other thing that thwarts our influence is if we spend all of our time in the salt shaker. You see, we want you to grow, but we also want you to be a people who are willing to go. The need to get out of a salt shaker and into the world, because salt is at its best when it's applied in the right doses. Being salt is less about whether you're capable. Remember, Jesus is telling this to a group of people who just met him. And he says, you are the salt of the world. He doesn't say, someday you might be the salt of the world. He says, you are. And so if last Sunday was your day or this morning was your day where you met Jesus, you are ready to be salt. It's more about being available than being capable. Because here's what can happen to us. You come to know Jesus and you start to attend church and you form new relations with people in our church. And at the same time, maybe you're distancing yourself from some things or even some relationships that caused you to stumble. You're here every time the building is unlocked and you sign up to serve in 42 different areas. You get into a group and you meet with a different group every night of the week. And before you know it, you don't know the names of your neighbors. You become really unavailable to anyone in your life who doesn't have a Love Unlimited sticker on their car. We become a bunch of salt that's stuck in a container that isn't very useful. And what Jesus modeled and what we read about in the book of Acts, the story of the early church, is a rhythm of gathering and scattering. And they did this on repeat all the time. You come together with your people and you worship and you grow and you serve one another. And then you step into your real world in a way that adds something that's missing and desperately needed. Just last week, someone was telling me why they came to Third City. It was their first time here. And it was because someone who found hope and healing here, they just wanted the same thing for their friend. And they doubled down on that relationship and they spent more time with them. And before long, they were here worshiping together the same God. And we see the same thing happen again and again with so many of you. We gather and then we scatter. You have relational reach with people that I don't know, right? And I have relational reach with people who you don't know. Your workplaces, your cluster of soccer parents, our neighborhood association, maybe those things get a little bit better because you're there, because you agree to be useful and follow God's purpose for our lives rather than our own purposes. This last Tuesday, our church staff crammed onto one of our yellow Connect buses, and we drove throughout our city on a prayer journey. And we spent time learning about some of the needs that exist around us. We prayed for our schools, teachers, and students. We prayed as we drove down Fadley for our hospitals and nursing homes and people who work with patients and patients themselves. We learned about different ethnicities in our community. And we just prayed in several places throughout the city for these outreaches. And then we prayed for church unity as we work together with other churches to be a blessing to the place around us. After our communion time this morning, we're going to extend an invitation to you to participate in a journey just like that. And we hope you'll take advantage of it and you'll see the city as we were able to see the city. It's gonna happen in Broken Bow as well. I'd been working on this message earlier in the morning before we did that journey, and as we drove around, I just couldn't help but think we just need more salt. We just need to be willing to go out and be the salt that Jesus calls us to be. You see, our cities and towns need Third City as we exist here on 13th Street or in Broken Bow on Buffalo Run Road or on our online campus. But it needs us just as much during the week. It needs us when the doors to this place aren't unlocked. So whether you work in a hospital or a school or a factory or a government office or a restaurant, or you're in a sales job, any other job in the world, or you follow your kids around for sports or music or dance, whatever it is, or maybe you have the opportunity to sit at a fire pit with your neighbors, or you're in a golf league that gets together every week, or you go to the same gym, work out next to the same person, doing the same workout that ends in the same bad results every day, you have opportunity to be salt. When you found your seat this morning, you noticed a little packet of salt. If you didn't, I'm just gonna tell you, you're sitting on a little packet of salt. And I'm just asking that you would take that packet and you would put it somewhere that you'll see on a regular basis over the next few weeks, on your dash, next to your mirror, in your bathroom, on your desk, your workstation, whatever that would be. And you would be reminded of the opportunity that we have to make our world a little bit better. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us this: if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. Thank God for that. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I love this story in 2 Kings in the Old Testament about the city of Samaria. They had an enemy known as the Assyrians, and the Assyrians wanted to destroy them. But instead of going to war, they simply laid siege on the city. Their army surrounded the city walls and stopped the supply of food and medicine and other supplies from going in. Their strategy was just to wait it out, wait for the people of the city to die of starvation or disease. And it was working. The people of Samaria were desperate. Or there were these four guys, lepers, who had been cast out from the city because of their disease. And they had finally just had enough of it. And they thought, well, why don't we just walk up to the camp? And we'll see if maybe they'll show some pity and give us food. Worst case scenario, they don't like it and they kill us. Well, I'm pretty sure we're about to die anyway. And as they're approaching the camp, they realize there's nobody there. And if you go back this week and you read 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7, you'll see that God miraculously chased the Assyrian army away. And so these four lepers strike gold, literally. They're finding food and drink, and they're filling their tummies with good nourishment after a long time of having nothing. And in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 7, we read this. When the men with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine. And they carried off silver and gold and clothing and hid it. And finally, they said to each other, this is not right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. So they got up off their seats, and they went back to the people who had rejected them. And they told them the good news, that the siege was ended, that there was hope, and there was food, and there were supplies, everything they could possibly need to live. That wine and that food, it must have tasted pretty good to a group of people who recognized their desperate need. Third City, can we be a people who feast together on the wine and on the bread as we celebrate the greatest day of good news, that Jesus offered himself as a payment for our sin, for our brokenness. But may we also be a people who resolve never to keep it to ourselves. So every week we take a feast. It may not look like a lot of food, but it's a feast, where we remember the goodness of God. We remember as witnesses by reading his word that he's done the most incredible thing for us. We take a piece of bread and we remember his body given for us. And together we drink from the cup, grateful that Jesus poured out his blood for us. That I won't face that kind of a day because he did. So God, we thank you for the cross, for an empty tomb. We thank you that our lives don't have to look like they used to look because of a cross and an empty tomb. And we thank you that you have given us the opportunity to let the people around us know about the cross and the empty tomb. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, I think this morning there are some of us here who feel like our stories disqualify us from being the salt in this world. And we think there's no way that God could look at me and my brokenness and what I brought into this world and use me to make a difference. And I just want to tell you that is a lie. It's a lie because it's the broken parts of our lives. It's the parts where we come before God and say, God, I don't know, but I know you do. That's where he uses us. That is where we are the salt of this earth, because it's the darkness that he is calling us to. It's the darkness that he stepped into in our lives. It's the rotten, worst part of our lives where we thought he would never see us and love us. That is where he is salt. That is where he is light. And that is where he is going to use you to be salt on this earth. So I just want to challenge you. There is nothing that disqualifies you. There's nothing. And he can use the hardest, most messed up parts of our stories because he's God and this is his world. He's the salt. He's the light. And he's calling you to be his representative in this world. But we're never going to be able to do that if we don't develop his eyes and his heart for his world. And so Dan mentioned it earlier, but we have a prayer experience that our missions team has put together, and it's gonna start next Sunday. And I wanna invite you to do this. And I know there are some of you thinking, there is no way that I'm gonna pray in front of a bunch of people. I promise you, we're not gonna have you pray in front of a bunch of people. You might not ever develop the practice of prayer in your life. This is a perfect opportunity for you to jump on a bus, drive around the city, and hear how God is using people, how God is stepping into our city to be light, and how he's inviting us to do the same. I'll tell you, I've done this twice now, and now when I jump in my minivan and drive around, I'm viewing this city a little bit differently, and I'm using that space to just talk to God and to listen to him. And there's something powerful that happens when we just open ourselves up to God in that way. Prayer really shapes us to be people who have his heart for this world. And so I want to challenge you to do this. It might stretch you a bit, but that's good. That's what we need if we're going to be salt, because friends, a little salt goes a long way, especially when you have the power of God with you. So may we be a church that goes and is the salt in this world. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Third City Christian Church podcast. Please join us for one of our worship services at 9, 10:15, or 11:30 a.m. in Grand Island, and at 10:15 a.m. in Broken Bow on Facebook Live and at thirdcityc.online.church each Sunday. For more information about Third City Christian Church, send email to podcast@thirdcityc.org. Call us at 308-384-5038 or visit us online at thirdcityc.org.